Although the Giants couldn't complete the four-game sweep, they still take 3 out of 4 from Milwaukee after taking 2 out of 3 from the Twins. These are two first-place teams in their respective divisions, and the Giants won both of those series. And guess what? They're in playoff position. We'll break it all down next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts, including YouTube, so check us out there if you have not already, and please hit that subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube. A championship team is about each player being a perfect fit. Same with your vehicle. So for parts that fit, head to eBay Motors and look for that green check. Stay in the game with eBay Guaranteed Fit. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit, only available to U.S. customers, eligible items only, exclusions apply. And coming up on today's show, a lot to get into. The Giants, they took 3 out of 4 from the Brewers for the second consecutive series. They were not able to finish off the sweep despite winning all of the games leading up to the final game of the series. But like I said, when they took 2 out of 3 from the Twins, a series win is a series win. When you're playing a four-game series on the road against a team that's in first place, taking 3 out of 4 is nothing but a win. Now, obviously, you'd like to get greedy and get that sweep, but Alex Cobb really didn't have it, and the Giants fell behind massively early. It was like, I think it was 7-0. It was either 7-1 or 7-0 that they fell behind. And honestly, I was impressed with the fact that they came back. Blake Sable broke out of a funk and hit a 3-run homer. They hit a lot of balls kind of hard and towards the wall, and some nice catches by the Brewers outfielders to their credit. But when all is said and done, it was a 5-2 road trip following up on a 5-1 homestand. So the Giants are 10-3 in their last 13 games. And now the Pittsburgh Pirates come into town, and the Pirates are, you know, one of those teams that's having, in my opinion, the most surprising seasons of any team in the league, in that they are 26-26, and they have a positive run differential. Their run differential is better than the Giants' run differential, although they are a half game behind the Giants in the standings. And the Giants, by the way, are in a playoff position. So it was not long ago, you know, the doom and gloom, and I'm getting messages on Twitter and stuff like, this is not a playoff team. They should be selling basically anything that's not nailed down. They should be selling and trading, and that's just not going to happen. They're going to, you know, certainly not on May 29th. We're going to be, we'll see where things are in mid-July, but as of now, they're playing really good baseball, and it's pushed them into a playoff position. And like I mentioned with the upcoming series against the Pirates, I think that the Pirates are a team that isn't going to last, basically. Like, it's kind of shocking that they are where they are. This was a team that most predicted would be towards the bottom of the standings in the National League. But there they are, 26-26, better record than the Phillies, better record than the Padres, who, by the way, are just 24-29, 3 games behind the Giants. So you think you can predict baseball? You think you can predict baseball? I don't think so, because how many people would really truly make a bet that on May 29th, after 50 plus games into the season, the Giants would be ahead of the Padres in the standings? And that the Giants would, if you said, oh, the Giants will be 1 game over .500, you'd say, well, they're still going to be way below the Padres. But no, you can't predict this crazy game of baseball. The second wild card team is the Marlins, who are also a team that I don't think is going to keep this up. And so, you know, when all is said and done, I expect the Mets, the Phillies, and the Padres, and even the Cardinals, who are only 24 and 31, I expect those teams to be bigger threats. I think Arizona is for real. Arizona currently that number one wild card team. But yeah, just wanted to mention, it's certainly worth mentioning that the Giants are in a playoff spot. Like if the season were to end today, this morning, they would be that third wild card team. And honestly, being the third wild card team right now would actually be kind of a good thing, because what would happen is you would end up facing the worst of the three division winners. And right now, the division leader is the Milwaukee Brewers, who the Giants just played on the road. That would be the situation. They'd be going into Milwaukee in a best of three, and they just took three out of four from that team. And, you know, including winning the game started by Corbin Burns, for example, and Freddie Peralta. The one they lost was started by the worst. Well, they faced Julio Teheran, and that was strange. He hasn't pitched in a long time, but Colin Ray was the one who beat them. Anyway, what I'm saying is it's funny how when it all is said and done, sometimes being that last wild card team can work to your advantage if there's a weak division winner, whereas the other wild card teams might be strong. Anyway, so the Giants are in playoff position. What does FanGraphs have to say about their odds of actually making the playoffs? I understand it's early to be looking at standings. I just simply think it's worth pointing out that, you know, they are a playoff team as of this moment. I'm not, you know, I've thought all along that they're a team very much capable of making the postseason. And what does FanGraphs have to say? Well, they give the Giants 52.4% odds of making the playoffs as of this morning, coming in with a kind of median projected record of 84.3 wins and 77.7 losses. Of course, you cannot actually have decimal losses and wins, but it's like 84 or 85, more like 84. But you've got a lot of teams like the Cardinals who just got off to such a poor start that it's going to be harder for them to get to a point where they're higher than the Giants in the standings. The projections kind of think that the Pirates are going to regress, that the Padres, like, they're kind of not buried in the standings, but the poor start has them with a projected final record of 84.5 wins, according to FanGraphs, compared to 84.3 wins, according to FanGraphs. So it has the Giants and Padres in a virtual tie there. And also the Phillies having a poor start, three games under 500 right now. The projection for them is like 83 wins. And so there's certainly a pass for the Giants. It's certainly early to be even talking about this, but Giants are playing well. And I think that despite the Pirates having a solid record, I think they're due for some regression, even though, like, unlike the Marlins, who had this crazy negative run differential, and that was my rationale for why they were due for regression. I just think the Pirates, no disrespect, like, I honestly haven't dug deep into how they've been able to have this much success unexpectedly. I know they've got a lot of guys who are like super patient at the plate, but like, you're facing Rich Hill today at 2 p.m. 40 something. He is up there in age, and it's just, you should be able to win this series at home against this team. And so hopefully the Giants can take advantage and do that. So coming up in just a minute, we will be discussing more from the Brewers series, including Logan Webb. He started off the season not well. Remember, he was 0-4. Not that I care about pitcher records, but the team obviously was 0-4 in his starts, first four starts, and he had a high ERA. They give him the extension, and then he's just been on a tear, and he had an 11 strikeout performance against the Brewers. Where do the numbers stand now for Logan Webb after, you know, turning it around following up on a slow start? So we'll get into it in just a minute. But before we do, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Are you looking for a delicious snack, but you don't want all of the sugar and calories? That was me. I don't like to eat a lot of sugar, and honestly, I am looking for that delicious snack. Well, the solution has been found in the best tasting protein bar ever, Built. You've got to try it. If you're like me and you want to make healthier snack choices, but you don't want to compromise taste, I've got just the thing for you. Built Bars and Built Puffs. Built Bars are healthy and they taste amazing. They've got delicious flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and cookies and cream. And like I said, it's not just sugar. We're talking just only about 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, to go along with a whopping 17 grams of protein in a typical bar. And now you don't have to wait around either to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering at built.com, but now you can go to your local Walmart or Sam's Club. And while you're there, you can get specialty flavors from Built. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk up to the pharmacy section and grab yourself a box of Built bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate or coconut puffs. And at Sam's Club, they've got 13-bar boxes with hit flavors, brownie batter puff and churro puff. Those are my favorites. You can thank me later. All right. As promised, we are going to discuss a little bit about just the pitching turnaround in general and Logan Webb specifically, who, you know, one of my early tweets on the season was why I wasn't worried about Logan Webb. And turns out it's not exactly a hot take. I'm not going to give myself a ton of credit for that, but he's really, really turned it around. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. Every day or tomorrow, we are going to be breaking down game one of this 3-game series against the Pirates. In my opinion, like, you've just got to keep it rolling. Take advantage of this team, even though they have a solid record. This is a team you should take 2 out of 3 at least against. And the Giants play the Pirates today at 2:05 p.m., and you can catch every pitch of the Giants' hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search Giants. Anthony DeSclafani on the mound for San Francisco, by the way. So Logan Webb, it's amazing. Like, the numbers just weren't good after 4 or so starts into the season. But all of a sudden, you look up, and he's got a better ERA than he's had in either of the past 2 seasons, when he had the breakout in 2021 and followed it up with an excellent season in 2022. He's got a 2.75 earned run average. The peripherals are a little bit higher, but just still, he has been basically fantastic and a workhorse. I think he leads the majors in innings pitched, or at least he's close to it. And remember, the home run ball was a problem for him early on, allowing, you know, 1 or 2 a game, it seemed. But now a very modest 1.00 home runs per 9 for Webb, and I would imagine that that'll continue to go down. He's still one of the top ground ball pitchers in the game. And so, I mean, yeah, the first 4 outings, he had a 4.94 earned run average and a home runs per 9 of 1.90. And he actually continued allowing home runs quite a bit. So after many starts, he still had a 1.60 home runs per 9, but now he's gone 4 consecutive starts without allowing a homer. But I just want to point out that after those 4 starts, what was I talking about? If you're an everydayer, or do you just happen to catch the episode that I was talking about it, I was talking about this xFIP number. And what is that? It sounds weird, but all it basically means is it's saying, like, it's the theory is that home run rates are slow to stabilize. And so for Webb, allowing almost 2 home runs per 9 innings, it was very out of character. And this number xFIP is saying, like, what do you deserve perhaps if you just had a normal home run to fly ball ratio and a normal batting average on balls in play against you, which, by the way, after 4 starts, that number, the batting average on balls in play against Webb, was 350, which is also really high. Normal is closer to 300. And sure enough, by the way, on the season now, what is his total batting average on balls in play against him? 301, normal. So that is why I do look at these numbers like xFIP. And that xFIP number was 2.58. It's basically saying, this is what we predict your ERA should be if you were doing those things like normal home run to fly ball ratio, normal batting average on balls in play against you. And his season ERA now is 2.75. So I go through stuff like this every year saying, okay, so which of these numbers was more predictive? The 4.94 ERA through four starts or the 2.58 xFIP? And, you know, actually we can look at, okay, what exactly has he done in the start since those first four? And he's got a 1.68 ERA over the next seven starts after that. And I don't know. It's just another win for the peripherals. And if we look at even through seven starts, the xFIP was 2.94, and now he's got a season ERA of 2.75. So it just goes to show you that the that there's a reason that we talk about those numbers. And of course, I'm not sure many people were worried about Logan Webb. And so maybe I'm just kind of doing victory laps for, you know, no reason, and that it's not impressive to say Logan Webb was going to be fine. But more so, it's just for me to illustrate how these numbers work and that they are, in fact, predictive. I do want to just verify that what I said about him leading the league in innings, he's first in the National League in innings, and he's just 1 2/3 innings behind Gerrit Cole for the most innings pitched in the majors. But Gerrit Cole has made a whole extra start, and he's only pitched 1 2/3 more innings. So Logan Webb, basically, like on a per start basis, is pretty much the top guy. I guess Eovaldi is right behind Webb, and he's made one fewer start, although he's starting today, so we'll see. Anyway, Webb has pitched a lot of innings, and the overall numbers are very good for him. And for the team, I mean, just the bullpen, the starters, outside of the clunker by Cobb, has just been really strong in the month of May, essentially. DeSclafani, his last time out, it was the same story as Cobb in the finale of a series, the Giants going for the sweep, didn't have a great start. And so he's going again today. It's a home start. You hope that he can kind of turn it around. And I'm optimistic about that, certainly. And I don't know. I just feel good about where the Giants are at. The schedule coming up, they play the Pirates for three, as I said, at home. And then the Orioles come into town, and the Orioles are having a really good year. And they, I do believe in, and they're going to be tough. But, you know, they're home games, and the Giants have played well at home so far this season. So coming up in just a minute, I want to discuss some roster moves, including a little bit of a surprising demotion when Austin Slater was activated and the Giants also lost one of their best players to the injured list. So we'll get into all of that in just a minute. But first, all right, as promised, I want to discuss some roster moves that have been made, some injury updates. You can see if you're watching on YouTube, we're going to be talking about Estrada and Austin Slater, but there's even more to get to than that. Thanks again for making Lockdown Giants your first listen every day. Every day is tomorrow, breaking down Tony DeSclafani against Rich Hill, who I just really want to look up how old he is, because I, outside of Nelson Cruz, I think he's the oldest player in the game. He is 43 years old, born in 1980. He first pitched in 2005 in the major leagues, and here he is in 2023, and he's still decent. He's decent. He's got a 4.27 ERA. Last year, his ERA, 4.27. So you kind of know what you're going to get with him. A lot of curveballs, a lot of cutters, just a lot of pitches moving in to righties away from lefties, and he mixes in a fastball as well, which is not going to be very high velocity. Let's see, the average velo on the fastball is 87.5. So he's a funky pitcher. He is 43 years old and he's still going. So kudos to him. But a game the Giants should theoretically be able to win. So the everydayers will hear us breaking that one down tomorrow. Giants play the Pirates today at 2:05 Pacific, and you can catch every pitch of the Giants hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search Giants. So I just want to give you a couple of updates. First of all, Tyro Estrada had to go on the injured list, and that stinks because He has been not even arguably, I think just kind of clearly their best overall player when you factor in base running and defense and hitting. They've got a lot of guys who have had good seasons so far. JD Davis obviously comes to mind, and Michael Conforto's turnaround certainly comes to mind. And I think those are the, I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, but basically losing Tyro Estrada is not ideal, but the good news is that it seems like it's probably not going to be something. Oh, I'm forgetting Lamont. Lamont Wade Jr. having a great start to the season as well. But for Estrada, he goes on the 10-day IL with a left wrist sprain retroactive to the 26th of May. So he won't be eligible to come back for, you know, until kind of probably like June 6th or so. I can't exactly calculate what 10 days will be, but it's not ideal to lose him. And in a corresponding move, they call up David Villar, who was doing really well in AAA after the demotion to AAA. But at the same time, he made the start on Sunday. I made a lot of points on Twitter about people were griping about the lineup. And I'm sorry, but if you just think like people don't need days off in baseball, then you're telling me that you've never played, frankly, or maybe even never played sports at all. Because if you've played at all, you understand just the grueling nature of the schedule in Major League Baseball, not only how hard this game is, but the fact that like normal people, you get a weekend off, you get the today off as a holiday. These guys just like don't get days off for 6 months. They get a day off like twice a month, maybe three times a month as a team. And so if you expect every single player to just be every single one of the players you think should be in the lineup to be in the lineup every single day, it's just ridiculous. And so, yeah, VR made a start, Crawford made a start, and I think it was the perfect time to do so, given that they had to play the game yesterday, then fly across the country back to San Francisco, and now they play a day game today. And so, and it's a lefty on the mound. And so for Crawford to make a start, it was the perfect time to kind of mix him in. By the way, he's just like lost the primary shortstop job to Casey Schmidt for now. I would imagine fully by the time you see this, maybe the game is over, or at least you know the lineup. I would imagine Schmidt is in there at shortstop today. I guess you could see, I would imagine Schmidt is going to be in there at shortstop today, although it could be like Schmidt at third and Crawford at short. And who's even going to play second against a left-handed pitcher? Maybe Davis at third, VR at second, and Schmidt at short. That's actually probably what I would expect. So anyway, VR's here. Estrada's not. Hopefully Estrada, I think they think that it'll be just a 10-day thing. So that's good news. And then lastly, according to Susan Slusser, we have a couple of updates on, first of all, Austin Slater was also activated prior to this game. And the surprising corresponding move for me was that Tristan Beck was optioned to Sacramento. And there are two reasons this is surprising to me. Number one, he had been doing well, but he also just pitched multiple innings yesterday. And before that, a few games ago, he pitched a lot of innings. And so he's not even going to be available to pitch for like 5 days. And so 4 or 5 days, I guess. And so optioning him isn't the biggest deal because, you know, it's a minimum 15-day stay there. And then he showed well, and we'll see him again. And it's just kind of a maneuvering thing. And it doesn't really, it stinks. Like, you don't like to basically punish a guy right after he does well. But at the same time, the reason it was surprising to me was because I thought a corresponding move would simply be Bryce Johnson, because that's who's kind of here for Austin Slater. So I would imagine Slater coming off this hamstring injury that we might see that Slater doesn't play the field for a little while, because otherwise I would have expected Bryce Johnson to be the one to be optioned. So maybe Slater as the DH is what I would expect, given that it was Beck optioned and not Bryce Johnson. So lastly, just an update this morning from Susan Slusser, who says, quote, Jock Peterson tells me he is taking swings today for the first time since the hand injury. And Joey Bart says he is running the bases tomorrow, but he's been doing everything else and is feeling good. Both moving closer to rehab assignments, I would suspect, end quote. And so, I mean, Jock Peterson is a huge part of this team. Joey Bart, there's going to be a controversy because Blake Sable, yeah, he was in like an 0 for 19 or something, but then he hit a three-run homer yesterday, and he's generally certainly done a good job with the bat. I have my questions about his skills defensively, both at catcher and in the outfield, although I felt better about him in the outfield lately, and I felt worse about him at catcher lately, and then in the early part of the season, that was kind of flipped for me, so I guess I kind of still need to see more, but clearly Patrick Bailey is the better catcher, and I think Joey Bart as well defensively. So it's going to be fascinating to see what happens when Joey Bart is ready to come back. It could be as simple as optioning Joey Bart, which may be the most likely thing at this point. But Jock Peterson is kind of more clearly a big part of the team, and him coming back, they've been doing really well without him, but having him back would only help them. So anyway, those are the updates, and that is all the time we have for today. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. Every day or tomorrow, like I said, Rich Hill versus Tony DeSclafani. We're going to be breaking it down. Can the Giants get a Game 1 win? Important. Otherwise, if you lose Game 1, you've got to win the next two to win the series. So Game 1s are always big, and you can catch the Giants play the Pirates today at 2:05 Pacific, and you can catch every pitch of the Giants' hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search Giants. Once again, I'm Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter at Ben Kaspic, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out a lot, so thanks in advance. And thank you to everyone who's done so already. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants.